Now, here's a worry and a concern. The head of a charity that provides the suicide prevention service Lifeline, very concerned about its future. A contract for the 24/7 helpline funded by the Department of Health is due to expire at the end of this year. I want to speak to the director of contact and contacts the charity that runs the helpline. It's Carrie Montgomery. Carrie, good morning. I'm very well, Carrie. Carrie, I'm begging your forgiveness here. Whenever I hear about Lifeline and organisations and agencies like this, I tend to have in my erroneous mind a picture of a charity that depends on charitable donation. But you are primarily funded by government.
That's correct, yes. Contact is a charity. However, we deliver the Lifeline service and we compete competitively every 3 to 5 years to be able to deliver the Lifeline service. And the service itself is fully funded through the Department of Health. The service, as you know, was launched in 2006. And it's a crisis counselling service for people of all ages across Northern Ireland. And to date, we have provided support to over 50,000 people.
So are you worried about the service disappearing, or are you worried about you providing it disappearing?
No, we have no concerns about our own provision of the service. Really, our concern is the future shape of Lifeline, regardless of who delivers it. The Public Health Agency went out to public consultation on the future shape of the Lifeline service on the 27th of August, and it's really our major concerns are in relation to the proposals to fragment and downgrade the Lifeline service.
How much does the Department of Health put into your service?
The Lifeline service itself would account for about 50% of Northern Ireland's Protect Life suicide prevention strategy. So the service would be about $3.5 million to deliver the service each year.
People listening will be gobsmacked by that amount. That sounds like an incredible amount of money.
It certainly is a large amount of money, and we're absolutely delighted that, you know, so far year on year the Department of Health, regardless of the challenges that they've been facing financially, have protected the budget for the Lifeline service.
And explain to me how the $3.5 million is spent.
Well, as I was saying, we have, whenever somebody comes through initially, it's a free at the point of contact 24/7 helpline. So again, the money will go into being able to have professional counsellors staffing the helpline 24/7. So we answer 100% of calls. Everybody coming through to the service, their call will be answered first time, every time, by a professional counsellor.
It different from the Samaritans?
It does make a difference from the Samaritans, although you may be aware that quite recently the Samaritans telephone number has also achieved free phone status, which is fabulous as well.
But am I right when I say that if I ring the Samaritans, I'm probably going to speak to a volunteer who has been trained and who is the conduit between me and some form of sanity in my crisis. Whereas if I ring Lifeline, I'm talking to a paid professional who's on maybe 30 grand a year.
Well, we're not quite on that much a year, but you're right, Frank. And that's one of the major concerns we have about the future proposal for the Lifeline service. The future proposal suggests that all calls would be answered by unqualified staff, and that it would be downgraded to a listening service. At the minute, it's a professional crisis counselling service. And again, really our concerns in relation to that are we would be regarded internationally as a benchmarked world-class service because we do have professionally qualified counsellors answering all of the calls.
But are you £3 million better than the Samaritans?
That's not necessarily for me to answer. I mean, I would be a big advocate of both the Lifeline service and the Samaritans. I mean, I think each service has a lot to offer, and we would regularly signpost people towards the Samaritans if we felt that the needs that they had presented with were not necessarily best placed with Lifeline.
And do you have any tangible evidence of saving lives, of rescuing people from the brink?
We do, certainly. I mean, we would have regular feedback from service users who come through to the service and explain that our intervention the previous night really did save their life. I mean, that would come through to our staff in terms of appreciation on a daily basis. And really, that's our major concern in relation to the proposals going forward. We think that the proposals have entirely missed an appreciation of the sense of isolation and burden a person in crisis feels, and the proposals would suggest that whenever somebody comes through to the helpline in the future, that they would initially receive support from a call operator, and if the person is then deemed suitable to be able to access the follow-on crisis support, that they would be provided with a unique identification number and signposted towards another follow-on service, which from our perspective will risk lives. What we currently do with the model, and that this is it's just to reassure everybody that the current model is very effective. Whenever somebody comes through to the service, we will carefully bridge and link in with their loved ones, ensure that they attend that first very important crisis counselling appointment to ensure that they recover.
When will you have the decision issued whether or not you're going to continue to have this 3 million plus funding?
There's no change to the funding. It's more a change to the model. The consultation is out at the minute, and it launched on the 27th of August, and it closes on the 19th of November. So we would really encourage anybody concerned about the future model of the Lifeline service to visit the campaign website, which is www.protectlifelineni.org. There's also links on that website that will bring people back to the consultation, the concerns and the issues. And again, we would encourage people to fill in the public consultation by the 19th of November.
So is none of it linked to the standing down of paid professionals?
No, it's really what they... The term that has been used in both the public meetings that we've attended and the concerns not only are shared by us but by Lifeline service users, family members bereaved by suicide, GPs, the community and voluntary sector, the term that they're using is unqualified call operators. And really it's quite ambiguous about what that means at this stage, whereas at the minute it's very clear that as part of our contract with the Lifeline service, 100% of calls must be answered by professionally qualified counsellors.
Well, there's no doubt it's excellent work, but I'm sure there's an argument that it could be done in a different way. Those who have been using the service, and you never know when you're going to need it, any one of us could need it tomorrow,
exactly.
Will probably be turning up the volume on the radio just to hear a little bit more about it or looking into it. And if people have opinions, how can they express them, either pro-Lifeline or indeed to challenge Lifeline? How do they go about doing that?
Yeah, and that's the purpose of us launching the Protect Lifeline campaign today. There is a very simple to use website, www.protectlifelineni.org, and that provides an opportunity and a few simple steps to be able to raise your concerns with your local elected representatives, and really then there's further links from that website that will bring people very easily towards some of the issues and concerns and how they can then themselves voice their concerns about the future shape of the Lifeline service, or indeed voice some of the welcome changes that may be coming as well.
Okay, you can have your say. Carrie, thanks for explaining it to us. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Frank.
Carrie Montgomery with Lifeline, with Contact, the people who deliver the service.